Beautiful. They, great job. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see all of you. And I know we have all, as has already been mentioned, we've all had situations. We've all had things. And yet the Lord has done a great job. And there have been a lot of miracles. And I would say to all of us that the big thing that's going to be when the Lord comes back is, will he find faith? Will he find faith? And I think that's where we are, and that is the trial of our faith, and that part of faith that is able to somehow recognize that we are going through all sorts of things. And I know even your medical doctors and so forth will periodically ask you, how do you feel about life? And how are you stressed? Are you anxious? How are you feeling? And I would like to tell them that there are times, like right now when I can't get my iPad controller to work, that I'm there it is. I'm feeling real stressed. And yet we're facing that sense of, Lord, increase our faith. And we know what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And that is an aspect of having faith in your relationship, having faith in your doctor, having faith in your spouse, having faith in, you name it, you fill in the blank. And the enemy's job is to attack that, is to attack all of that. And you say, well, but you don't know what they've done, and you don't know how they've hurt me, and you don't, and I get it. We have that very sense of, you know, we are bombarded by situations. And I realize that at times our faith is weak. And I talked about how Jesus broke bread and he showed them his scars, and how important all of that was in changing doubting Thomas to a witnessing Thomas, changing two guys that were fleeing and running to Emmaus to escape, to two people that came back to Jerusalem and were able to testify about how he was risen. And we looked at some of all of that this morning and recognized through the word of the Lord that, you know, there are times when we are asking the question, like the apostles, increase our faith. How do we do that? And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And then that's where it sort of gets murky, if you will, because unfortunately we are bombarded with voices, bombarded with stuff, bombarded with all sorts of, whether it's an email or whether it's a report or whatever that happens that, you know, fills our imagination, fills our thinking, fills our emotions. And that's why when Paul wrote here on the bottom of this slide, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, and I realize that our imaginations are bombarded all the time, and we can imagine stuff and think about it, and I can sit here and I can think, well, why didn't he shake my hand? Why didn't he? And what was that? Why were, you know, and you can build a whole case, and you can build a case against somebody, you can build a case for somebody, you can build a case of, I'm mad, and you can, and the enemy whose job is to steal kill, and destroy, lets it roll, and you go, but I'm not imagining it. It was real. It is. And I realize that what starts in the mind is often played out in the flesh. And when a person, you know, starts thinking things, and that's why the Lord made the statement about don't look on a woman to lust, because it's in your heart. Don't get mad in your heart, because it could come out as anger and murder, and you say, oh, I would never hit them. I would never knock them out. But whenever my imagination and my mind is rolling and things are happening, I'm just, oh, I see red. And you go, oh, I can't do it. And we read this morning where, you know, that all of a sudden we have supposed to have the mind be in us that was in Christ, and where we are able to recognize we have to operate by faith. And I read those verses this morning, and I kind of got you to John, the 16th chapter. And these were some of the last ones that I read this morning. And it's about how Jesus spoke into the future, if you will. When he was in John, the 16th chapter, which happens before the prayer in the garden in the 17th chapter, before his greatest trial. He knew it was his greatest trial. He knew was coming up. It was on the calendar. He knew it was appointed. He told them, his disciples, he had been telling them for 18 months, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to go in. They're going to take me. They're going to beat me. They're going to crucify me. He didn't use those words, but they're going to kill me. And he knew it was boiling down to this. And yet, here he was the last week, and he knew that this is it. This is it. In fact, at Passover, he said, one of you is going to betray me, the one that I give this up to. He knew what was going to happen. And he tells his disciples, he says, do you now believe for the hour is coming when you're going to be scattered and you're going to leave me alone? And then he spoke a word of faith to himself. He said, yet I am not alone. I don't know if he knew it was going to get so bad that he was going to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Or what was going to happen. But he told himself, I am not alone, for the Lord is with me. Yeah. You know, the power of being able to say, I believe, I still believe. And then he goes on down and he says, you know, you're going to have tribulation, but I've spoken to you so that you might have peace. Be of good cheer. And then he put it in past tense. I have overcome the world. And he hadn't even really done that yet. He had not gone through Calvary. He had not sweat, as it were, yet great drops of blood. And yet he put it in past tense. And sometimes I'm here to tell you that if you're going to increase your faith, you've got to speak to things that are not as if they are. You have to say, you know what? I can do it. I know I'm going to be all right. I understand. I come from a very logical, practical mindset that, well, you know, you just can't tell yourself that I'm going to be warm and I'm going to be filled. And the Bible talks about that. Faith without. I get it. Not saying, go in peace, be thou well. My dad told me tonight, he says, I don't care how much I say it, I can't run around the aisle three times. I said, well, walk around them three times. What are you talking about? I get it. I understand. You can't always. But you know what? I would rather you say, I still can do all things through Christ. The Lord is going to help me. The Lord's going to give me my strength. Whether if I can't go all the way around, I'll go down one aisle. If I can't go down one aisle, I'll walk back and forth in front of my seat. Why? Because one of these days, I'm going to run down a street of gold. One of these days, I know what's my Redeemer liveth. One of these days, I'm going to be able to walk and run and leap and jump, and I can tell you, I know in whom I've believed, and he is able. Yes. That's why he talks about getting our thoughts into bringing them into captivity. And that's where Paul wrote to the Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's say it together. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You say, but I can't walk on water and I can't climb the mountains. I still say, you've got to have a can attitude if you're going to increase your faith. That's why Paul wrote in Hebrews 11 chapter, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, because it deals with my imagination, my thoughts. And if I cannot think it, then I cannot operate in faith to receive it. And I know this has to do with whether you want to call healing or, you know, and we've seen people that come and they're able to pray a prayer of faith and people are healed, and we hear that and we go, oh, you know, if I had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, and that's very small, and are able to say to the mountain, but at some point it becomes the substance. Lord, you have to begin to see yourself. I'm going to be well. I'm going to be better. I'm going to get... And I know it's overwhelming. You've heard me tell the story when Caitlin was little and came to her mom and I and said, am I going to be healed? And we said, yes. And we knew in our mind, we didn't know whether it would be here or on the other side of glory. But we could say, yes, babe, you're going to be healed. The Lord is still able. The Lord has still got power. Don't ever forget that. Hang on to that. Why? Here's a little girl laying in a hospital bed asking her parents, am I going to be all right? And the only thing I could do was speak a word of faith in Jesus' name. I'm here to tell you the Lord is able and you're going to make it. You're going to be all right. So, yeah, but, you know, I just know what the Bible says. As a man thinketh in his heart, eat, drink, saith he, but his heart is not with me. And that's why, you know, if a person's heart is not in it, yeah, I'll come, but my heart's not in it. Yeah, I'll be there, but it's not in my heart. That's why he said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? Faith. Being rooted and grounded in what? Love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. When faith is not operating in your heart, you don't have the power to have the evidence of things not seen. All of a sudden, you become powerless in your ability. And this is why the Lord was interested in the heart. In fact, you know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the 9th chapter, and I know we're not talking about an offering here. And we're not going to take another offering tonight, but it has to do with our whole attitude of sowing. He that soweth sparingly shall reap what? It's not about, well, what can I give God? What are my talents? What can I do? What can I offer God? Do I give him? Oh, all right, Lord, I'll give you 2 hours a week. I'll give you 4 hours a week. That's all I'm going to give him. You sow sparingly? And then you wonder, I don't understand why I reap sparingly. Every man, according as he hath purposed where? In his heart, let him give. Not But not out of necessity, but out of a free will. And I know immediately people go, you're talking about raising money, you're fixing to take an offering. I said, no, I'm not talking about it. I'm not raising money tonight. Yeah, we're trying to do some renovation. We're meeting you. If you've got an extra $300,000 or $400,000, let us know. We'll be glad to put it to good use. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about letting your heart be open. It is not about, okay, and I've had people come to me and they've asked me, Pastor, just tell me what is this going to send me to hell, or is this okay? And I think you are trying to look for the minimum that you can do. You've missed it. Because you're not giving freely. Freely I have received, therefore freely I give. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make grace, all grace, abound toward you. And that ye always having all, notice that last phrase. I want that. Always having all sufficiency in all things. Whew. Always, all. How many would like that? But you know how you get that? By having faith, and should be able, may abound to every good work. What are you saying? Because that comes from a heart that is increasing in faith. Lord, you are able. Lord, you are able to do it. Lord, you are able. Proverbs 14th chapter, and I just have a couple more slides and we're going to go baptize Ava. But 14th chapter in the 32nd verse, if you read it in the King James, it says, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. What are you saying? When you have faith for God, it doesn't matter. Even if, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of evil, the shadow of death, the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. In the Amplified, it said the wicked is overthrown in his wrongdoing, but the righteous has hope and confidence and a refuge with God, even in death. Why is that so amazing? Because the New Testament, Paul, two or three different times, told a couple of different churches, one in Ephesians, one in Thessalonians. He said, at times you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thessalonians, he said, I wouldn't have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no. What are you saying? Faith has got to be there that I still believe, no matter what I'm going through, even if I'm facing death's door. God, you are able. You are able. You are able. I have hope. We're going to come through this on the other side. Why? How do I know that? Because I keep my eyes on what you're doing and what someone else, and I don't understand why I've got to go through it. No, I keep my eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the of my faith. Everybody put your hand on your heart. Lord, increase our faith. I want you to pray right now for yourself. Lord, increase my faith. The enemy would like to attack my mind. would like to attack my heart, would like to overwhelm me in this hour. It's like hundreds of missile attacks that are coming in, and you are able, Lord, to protect me from each one. I pray you will put a shield around my mind, the helmet of salvation, that no matter where I am and what I'm going through, even if I am in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to stand. I know. You say, I don't know. This is bad. I don't know what's going on in my life. I know. But I know the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm thankful. I don't have to finish it. I don't have to complete it. And there have been times I've prayed, Lord, I don't know what else to do. But I know the devil's trying to attack my faith. And I'm going to say in the name that's above every name, you are still able, Lord. You're still able to move. You're still able to touch. Why don't we come? We're just going to worship.